Welcome to SelfDiscoveryWisdom.com, formerly known as Self Discovery Media. On these podcasts, you're going to hear people who speak from the heart. They've taken the journey in life. Many things have happened to them, but they've changed it to happening for them. And in their strength, their courage, they've discovered their abilities and their wisdom, and they are now sharing it here with you. Do enjoy each show. We bring it to you with love and knowing that it's going to help you on your journey of life. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Building Your Business right here in selfdiscoverywisdom.com. I'm your host, Sarah Troy, and all the way from Australia is Trish Springsteen. We're going to be talking about empowering introverts. She's Australia's leading expert in empowering introverts. Do you have a business idea? You really want to do it, but you're too introverted and you just don't know how to do it. Well, she believes in you. And she helps you believe in yourself. Trish is a creative marketing consultant, Australia's leading expert in empowering introverts, a multi-international award-winning mentor, speaker, international bestseller, and host of Get Known to Be Seen on Web TV. Trish is passionate about helping you have the confidence to self-believe and make speaking easy. From her own personal experience, she knows what it's like to feel invisible. Founder of the Purple Unicorn, and anybody watching this will understand that purple is her color, and the Marketing Academy. Trisha works with getting to know and be seen to showcase your business, make it visible and easy for your clients to find you. She's a true believer in you until you believe in yourself. And we're going to be talking about some of the books that she's been a part of, many of them, let's say 19. So I think she's a very proactive person here. But yes, introvertedness. People actually don't believe I'm an extroverted introvert. And so I'm extroverted when I need to be, and then I'm really quite an introvert after that. So it's introvertedness. Is it shyness? Is it doubt? Is it just our personality type? How do we get ourselves to stand out in business and be seen and be heard when we are introverted? Welcome to the show, Trish.
Absolutely delighted to be here, Sarah. Absolutely. And yeah, that's a very good question.
Where do we start? Sometimes we're too introverted to even ask the question.
Oh, look, from my perspective, there is a line, you can say. And from one end, there's really people who are very introvert. And the other end, there's this people who are extremely extrovert. And those words have become flyaway words now, throwaway words. Yeah. What do they mean? Basically, from my experience, it's not being shy. And that's one of the things that gets people all tripped up, because they hear introvert and they think shy. Now, way back in the Jurassic period, a long time ago, when I left high school, I was a very shy person, an introvert, but extremely shy. Mm-hmm. So anything about doing what I'm doing now would have been absolutely horror to me.
Yeah.
Introvert, on the other hand, is really all about energy.
Yes.
It's about how you interact, how you present yourself. Now, an introvert, when they're in a whole crowd of people or they're facing an unknown situation, not sure what's going to happen, they just back off. Mm-hmm. A whole crowd of people draws the energy out of me and I get very, very tired. That's why I really don't like crowds. And yes. The whole concept of me walking into a network meeting and being able to say hello to people is not that easy to do.
Yes.
When you can harness and realize that your energy is introvert or your energy is extrovert, believe me, there are pros and cons on both sides of that line. Extroverts have just as much problems as introverts do. But we have problems starting up a conversation or walking into an unknown room. Extroverts have problems by overwhelming people. They're so energized.
Yes.
I just throw out that much energy and people have problems connecting with them. I mean, if I walk in, I'm fine. I know how long, and I know the signs, and I know that I need to be there. Mm. And I think this was the basis of a lot of my journey, was to realize that it's not about me.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the people that I need to connect with.
Yes.
Or someone that might need to hear a few words that I say in a speech, or when I have a little conversation with someone. So that means that I can take my energy and I can be out there and I can be, well, I think they term it ambivert now, but I can be the extrovert, introvert.
Mm-hmm.
And I just know then if I start to get overwhelmed and I'll start to draw back, all I've got to do is pull myself back, walk out somewhere, give myself 5 minutes to just some deep breathing, some energizing, being by myself and knowing, okay, fine, I can go back. So being an introvert is not a death sentence to being able to be in business. It's not a death sentence to being able to stand up and speak about your message or your product or what you're passionate about. It just means that you need to know how to harness the energy that is inherent in you at that time.
I'd probably call myself an introvert. Introvert, I love the intimacy. So I don't have a problem in the public speaking, but I like an introverted in intimate crowd. I love, presenting and then question period where you can feel each other. I find if it's too big an arena and there's too many different energies out there, they're not always congruent with each other. And so you feel that your energy is drawn here, drawn there, and it kind of throws you off kilter. So I like a more intimate type place where you can do that. When I go into a crowd, if I'm going into a big network, I'm actually more of an observer at first and then kind of get drawn to certain people. And then I prefer to talk to two or three people through the night and then kind of trying to connect with everyone. I think that is my introvertedness, but it's also, I prefer to kind of go deeper. I think introverted people love to go deeper and it come out with something feeling more abundant and round. We're very on extrovertedness, as you say, can be a little over the top, and it's surfing over and rather than depth building, and I'm more favorable on the depth building.
No, I think that's one of what I call the biggest skills that an introvert has, and a very positive skill, is that they will connect with people. They make great mentors because they can really get in deep and they'll listen. Introvert's biggest skill is listening. And really, people, listening is probably one of the best skills you need to get in business, in whatever business you're in, or even in your personal journey. Because listening will give you a lot of information. And we don't all listen very well. We hear, don't listen. And introverts are very good at listening because they are want to be. They're very centered in themselves. They're really calm in many aspects, and they're quite ready to just sit there and observe. The problem is that there are times when you've got to come out
I
as an
know.
introvert. Can't do it all the time. You do have to take a deep breath and say, look, if I've got a business, I can't listen all the time. I can't observe all the time. Especially, and we all know nowadays, businesses, there are so many people doing the same thing that we do. I mean, when I started my business, I was a speaker coach. And I'm still a speaker coach, but do you know how many zillions of speaker coaches are out there? So there are
Dime a
a
dozen.
zillion. And there's zillions of coaches of any sort. You just put an adjective in front and you've got different sorts of coaches. So if you want to stand out and you're an introvert, it means taking that deep breath and then taking all the things that you've observed, all the things that you've listened, and actually standing up and saying, hey, here I am. I have a uniqueness. I am unique. I've got something that I can bring. I've got my life experiences. I've got my stories. So yeah, there's loads of life coaches. There's loads of business coaches. There's loads of accountants, lawyers, you name it. Loads of speaker coaches, loads of speakers. But each one of us is unique. And the challenge for an introvert is to take that uniqueness and share it.
12 years ago, I started podcasting. When somebody asked me to be on their podcast network and went, "What's a podcast?" I didn't even know. It was live, and boy, I call it the soap opera training because anything could go wrong, it went wrong. And right, you had to deal with it. I didn't know if I could do it. The one thing I will give myself credit to, if I don't know if I could do something, I'll at least give it a try. And so the very first day, I pressed all the wrong buttons. Everything went wrong. That could go wrong. But then when I found that, I say to people, I'm just as much in discovery as my guest, as my audience is. And when you get into that discovery and you are listening to respond and enlighten or enhance on what is being said, and I found that I really did enjoy this. And then everybody kind of perceived that I was this big extrovert. Which it isn't. This was just the place, that I felt comfortable in. Of course, now I've just had my 12th anniversary in doing it, and 11 years in June of my own network. And I love, I think what it is knowing what your passion is. I always say, what is your why? And when you know what your why is and you're passionate about what you're doing, even if you're an introvert, the extrovertedness will come out through that passion, right? Through that connection. And so you need to be in an arena where that is the invitation for that passion to come out. Because what you do get is the depth of that passion. You do get the why of that passion. It isn't just, on the surface. It is something that really comes out in depth. And I think that helps an introvert in a lot of ways of being able to present themselves.
Oh, look, absolutely. When you really believe in yourself, and that's something that's a journey that people, introverts and extroverts, all have to travel through. But when you really believe in yourself and you know that you've got a message, as I say to many of my clients and many of my mentee people, it's not about you. And when you realize that, for an introvert, that gives them some control back, because a lot of the fear we have, a lot of the uncertainty is fear of the unknown, but it's fear of being out of control. That's like to be in control of what's going on, because that no, yeah, they feel comfortable there. That's a really good comfort zone. And when you've got that why, and when you know that you need to share it with people, it gives you that control to be able to get out there and to be able to share that message. Knowing your why is often a big stumbling block, because many of us, we tumble into business sort of accidentally. We know that we've got a passion and we know that we want to do something, and we say, well, open our business. I'm speaking from experience here. I thought, yeah, we're just going to open this business. I've got this passion, I've got this message. I'll just sit back and people are just going to flock to my door. Yeah, right, people, that doesn't happen. A very small amount of businesses may hit something that will cause that. But in the main, no one's going to know you're there unless you say so.
Exactly. How do they know where to flock?
That's right. Unless you tell them where to flock to. And that took a little bit. I thought, oh, okay. I think there's a step missing in my business here. And I need to go out there and tell people. And that was a big learning exercise itself. But one of the things that you've said, and I think is something that we can all take heart from, is that if we have a message, and hey, face it, you wouldn't be taking that scary step unless there was some passion somewhere in deep inside you. And we can just rely on that. I had a Blog Talk radio show. Was my first step out. And believe me,
Yeah,
I
that was
can
mine
relate
too.
to you. Things go wrong. I've been on my Blog Talk radio show and no guest has turned up.
I've had that experience too.
Oh, that's great. You learn to really do them. But one of the things I learned and I asked each of my guests at the time was, what makes a speaker memorable to you? What makes a person memorable to you? And the answer, number one or two, was always they were authentic, they were genuine, they had the courage to open their heart, let their passion through. And I say to people, we talk about speaking skills and we talk about having the courage to stand out. And that is what I call the next level icing, because it picks you up and makes it a lot easier for you to be connecting with your people. The foundation you really need is to have that courage to show your passion, to be authentic and be genuine, because people will forgive you a lot of techniques.
Oh,
If you just let people see that I am passionate about my subject, I'm passionate about my book, I'm passionate about this widget that I want to sell. And that's all you need to be in the beginnings. You get that, and you have that courage to let that shine. All the other stuff is technique and polish. Yes, it will help you reach a wider audience. It might help you to be a little bit more, with more clarity and with more confidence. But without that passion, without letting people see why you are out there, it's technique. It's not connection.
No. Just
Hope for
knowing
all of
that.
us people, just be brave enough to step
Yeah.
outside of your comfort zone and say, I love what I'm doing and I love this and I want you to see why I love it.
I say inspiration begets invitation. When you
Yes.
are inspiring, you are inviting people who are inspired by you to want to step up, want to know more, be lifted up. That's the invitation. And that's really whatever we're doing in speaking is to be inspiring in whatever we're talking about, right? We want to leave people with that invitation to want to know more, want to connect, want to buy, want to do something. That is really what it's all about. If you come across as inauthentic, we know, we call it, I'm sorry, car salesman, we call it the used car salesman, where, it's just, and nowadays you can call it telemarketing. They're all just reading from a thing. Yeah, not terribly inspiring, right? I don't care if you've got something I want, I'm just switched off. But when you know it comes from the heart, that somebody really believes it, they've drank their own Kool-Aid, right? They really are there in that passion. It lifts you up. It makes you want to know more. That inspiration, that something. When Harry met Sally, I want what she's having, right? It's.
Absolutely. And it's but it's not easy.
No.
We sit here and we're talking so and we're saying, you've got to be out there, you've got to be. But for an introvert, it's not easy because that means stepping outside the comfort zone.
Yes. Yes.
It
And
means
I've been there, and I'm sure you've been there. I mean, it's. I'm fine going in blind into a small group, like on the on the Mission 262. Deb Drummond is always, Sarah, what do you think? And I'm on the spot where I've got something to say, and I've grown to be comfortable with that. Tap into the energy and speak to whatever comes out of my mouth. Didn't always used to be like that. If the camera or the spotlight came on me, it was but, whole swallow me up. And it's not just confidence that you gain. It's a trust in yourself that you do have a message to say and say it unapologetically.
Absolutely. Then it took me a while, and I'm often say to people, I hope you don't take as long as I did because, hey, I'm a slow learner, and it took me a long while to get that. But there's some lessons I learned along the way, and they're things like believing in myself and like trusting. I have what I call my 60 seconds of insane courage, and that gets me through a lot because it's like 20 seconds to say, okay, I don't want to do this. And that negative voice is saying, oh, you are going to fail. You can't do this. Don't say yes to that because you're not good enough. No one's going to listen to you. No one's going to hear you. So then I get 20 seconds where I say, stop. I'm not going to listen to that. I am good enough. I have testimonials. I have credibility. I have belief in myself. And then 20 seconds, just smile and
Yes,
say, yes.
you got
Yes, I'll
this.
do that.
Yes,
Absolutely.
yeah.
And that is a really great process that I've learned over my years because it's short circuits that an imposter syndrome, people say, how can you possibly have imposter syndrome? They look at great speakers and great salesmen and brilliant business people and they think, oh my God, they never have it. I'm sorry they do.
Yes, exactly.
They're honest. I would
Oh, yeah.
say 85 to 90% of people experience imposter syndrome at least once in their life, if not more times. And I use my 60 seconds of insane courage to say, stop. I'm not. Because over the years, I've got credibility, I've had testimonials, and we all have testimonials. One of the biggest things we have to, as women, and sometimes even as men, that we have to do is accept when someone says, thank you, you've inspired me. Something that you've said has helped me. And we're like, oh, well, it was nothing. Excuse me, it was like 40 years of life and experience and courage and putting on my big girl pants and saying something and doing this. And we have to accept, and I learned that in a big way too, accept of gratitude.
Yes,
Say,
graciously, right? Graciously.
absolutely,
And
manifest
if you
gratitude.
feel those words coming on, it was nothing, instead smile. Just smile and say thank you. That's it. Who are you to judge what they got out of it, right?
Absolutely. That was a big aha lesson that I had to learn. That came through being nominated for an Inspirational Woman's Award. And I got this nomination. I looked at it and I laughed. I thought, not inspirational. I just people to speak. I just believe in people. I just mentor them. I help them write their books, help them have their courage to speak. I'm not inspirational. And I thought, oh, I'm not going to go any further with this award because there are people out there who help with domestic violence, who've been through tragedy, and they're inspirational. Then, okay, I decided the last sort of, I'm really good at procrastination. So I thought, at the last minute, I thought, oh, I better, I thought to myself, someone took the time to nominate me. It would not be nice not to do it. So I thought, I'll handle it.
Exactly,
I'll handle it.
exactly.
I'll do it. I had to acknowledge it. So I did with no earthly thought. And you could have knocked me over the field. I think my friend said it was one of the few times that I really was speechless because I won. And I was like unbelievably speechless that I had won an Inspirational Woman's Award. And it was an aha moment because I realized, as you said, how arrogant of me to negate someone's opinion of me. How dare I say that because someone thinks I've been good or I'm awesome or I have inspired them or I have helped them, how arrogant of me to just ignore what they've said. And that was a big aha moment for me to learn that we do not see ourselves
No, we
as
don't.
others see
No,
us.
no.
And we need to accept that if someone says to you, you have inspired me, you have helped me, then you have to be gracious to say, thank you. I am so glad that I could be there for you.
Exactly. You know,
And
my
that
mother
is
was
a big lesson.
it is a big lesson to learn, and it's one where you catch yourself wanting to say one thing, and your brain quickly says, shut up, just say thank you.
Absolutely. And as
You know,
women, we have a hard time doing that.
we do, definitely. My mother was a stage actress. She did radio, hated radio. I had to go in with her and mime the reaction because she liked a live audience. And but she loved the stage. And I would say to her, you're so nervous. You've done this so many times. You've won so many awards. And it's like, but the nerves are setting the stage for me. They're setting that anticipation. And it kind of, you know, people have said if you there is a certain confidence where, as I said, like Deb could hit me and go da 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 da, and I'm confident enough to know that something will come out of my mouth that's okay, right? Because I'm confident enough in my message. I'm confident enough in who I am, what my message means. And all it is just letting my message out in the moment. It's not preordained, it's just what comes out. But that is, again, from the lifetime of experience where you get to that point. But with when people go, oh, it's nothing. I've kind of questioned if you're not feeling anything, right? Or any form of, you know, it's like when say you know you're coming up for a speech, even if it's on Zoom and you know it, and your throat starts going, I do this every time before a podcast. You know, everything happening like that. It's that kind of little anticipation nerves. But I think that's what sets us up to be in the moment, to be present, to be aligned with what we're meant to do. And it's kind of, I don't know. How would you describe it?
I'll absolutely agree. And I say to people, if you look at someone who is you admire as a great speaker, and you might well go up to say to them, look, hi, do you get nervous before speaking? So you'll get one of three answers. One of three answers. You'll get someone who will say, absolutely, I know, but I know how to control those nerves. And as you say, I need that to be the adrenaline to make that connection, to be able to be there and be present and to be having that connection. Then you might get the person who will say, no, I don't. And that'll be someone who says, I'm not going to tell them the truth because I want them to think that I'm fantastic and I'm not going to tell them that I get nervous. Then you'll get your third answer. And that'll be the person, just like you described, who says, no, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm very confident and is telling the truth. They're the person, when you watch their presentation, I will guarantee to you that there is something missing from it. They'll have all the facts, they'll have the figures, they'll have the technique, they'll know where to stand, they'll know how to do that, but there is a spark missing. It will be
Exactly.
dry because they've got so used to doing that particular presentation in that particular area that they have lost that really important bit. And
Connection.
nervous energy is just the other side of excitement. And when you turn that nervous energy into excitement, you have that spark that says to people, wow, I want to listen to this person. That is the thing that you need. So it's okay. I say to everybody, be
Yeah.
nervous.
Yes.
Know how to turn that into the adrenaline you need to connect. Because when you lose that nervousness, it becomes bland. You're just turning up and doing something by rote, and
I know, and it
no
doesn't make for
style.
a good podcast because
Nope.
I call them grandstanders. You know, they just feel this is another stage and blah, 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 blah. And you're trying to kind of get in and have a conversation or make a remark, and they're just so disconnected. They're just coming on and doing their thing. They don't need you there. They could
Yeah.
just go and do their own thing. And it's like, but you know, I kind of try and throw in a connection thing, and it throws them out. It froze
Oh.
them out, or off they go again on another grandstand. And it's like, it's not for a pleasant interview because
No.
I don't feel the connection. I don't feel the energy. I don't feel the vulnerability or the passion. I just, it's just robotic.
Yeah, it is. It becomes a rote thing.
Yeah.
And it's sad when that happens because they've probably got really great messages.
Yes. The
But
words are sounding
without,
great, but where's the connection to the words?
yeah, without the energy and the vulnerability that you need to show.
Yes.
Okay to be vulnerable. And I mean, you
Absolutely.
don't have to open the door and let everything out. But being honest and being vulnerable is what the base connection, I believe, is with connecting with people, with your clients, you know,
Yes.
even you know, just with speakers, with clients, with building relationships. I mean, you've all heard those words, like, know, and trust. And I'm
Yes.
sorry, people, but those three words can't come unless you're prepared to be open and to let people know who you are.
Be
I cannot
relatable,
like,
right?
know, and, yeah, I cannot like, know, and trust someone
Yes.
unless I know who they are. And
Right.
that's why I often talk about giving your brand a voice, because many of us, especially introverts, will hide behind that brand.
Yes.
I've got my website, I've
Yeah.
got my logo, I have my colors, everything's out there. Just go along to that. This is me. And yes, it's a small part of you. But for people to like, know, and trust you, they want to know who the person is behind that brand.
Exactly. Exactly. I want to know there's some relatability there. I want to know I go through that too. I feel that too. You feel that? And yet, this is what you're doing, and you feel that. And it's encouraging. It makes you feel that you're being spoken to. It makes you feel you're being invited to and not being spoken at.
Yeah, I actually say I like to speak with you,
Yes.
have a conversation and speak with
Yes.
you. Sometimes they're spoken to because everybody says I speak to the audience, but I'm
Right.
thinking, no, I'm not. I'm speaking with the audience. I'm
Yeah.
having a conversation with each and every person in that audience, and that helps me when I'm getting up to speak. Hey, people, just you said so. I get nervous.
Yes.
Oh my gosh! Before I come on to this one. There's some deep breathing. There's, I can do this. I know what I'm doing. Before I go out to do my own, yeah, I've been doing a little tips of Trish presentation every Wednesday morning, live or the pre-recorded, depending what's happening, for about 6 years. And as we were talking before we came on, I'm still not sure what I'm going to say.
Yes.
Then I'm also not sure, well, how am I going to say it? What am I? And I'm thinking, no one's listening, no one's watching. And the thing with lives and with recorded ones, it's not who turns up at the time, it's actually who comes in later.
Yes.
And that takes a bit of getting over to realize that it's not, no one turns up right there when you're doing a live. That doesn't matter because it's the people who come later. But I still get nervous, I still have to think through it all. And I just take two or three breaths. And as I said, I just say to myself, if I don't get onto this podcast, if I don't get onto this online summit, there is probably somewhere out there in Timbuktu or some little town who is listening to this podcast at some stage, maybe in 7 months' time, and maybe needs to hear just maybe five words that I have to say.
Yes.
And if
Yes.
I haven't had the courage to do that,
Yeah.
people are going to miss those five words. And you
That
know
could be
what?
their pivot,
That
right?
could be
Could be
what
their answer.
changes. Absolutely. So that's why I do it. That's why I get my courage up. That's why I conquer my nerves. And I just say, hey, it's for that person out there in 7 months' time is going to listen to my five words. And I may never know that, but that
I
doesn't
no,
matter.
no.
It's going to happen.
I get people say, well, who listens to your shows? And I got all those that are ready to hear. It's out of my hands. When it's out there, I have no idea who is going to listen, what they're going to get out of it. Occasionally make comments, but half the time you don't know. What I do see, though, because it's almost 11 years, June, 11 years of my own network, I see shows coming up from 10 years ago, 9 years ago, 8 years ago, and it's got a new life because somebody is at that stage needing to listen to that wisdom in that moment. We have to let go of this directorship of what it should do, where it should go, who it should impact, and trust in the message, and the message will reach the right person. The teacher will come when the student's ready. The message will
Absolutely.
come when the person's ready to hear. But I have a library, so that library is there for them when they're ready. So, it isn't about how many sales am I going to get out of this. I have absolutely no idea. You may not get one. If you're coming into it for sales, it's the wrong arena. You're coming in to spread wisdom, an invitation for people to want to reach out to you, or just take the wisdom that you have as a gift and apply it to their lives. My motto is listen, learn, and apply.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, I've had someone come up to me and it said, "Oh, I want to do some work with you." And I thought, "Oh, okay, that's really good. I'm brilliant. Why?" I like to know why. I mean, where did you see me? Because I've never seen them before. I said, "Oh, I heard you speak 12 months, 18 months ago, and there was something you said at the time." And I thought, "Yeah, I'm not ready yet, but yeah, I'm going to come and see her."
Exactly.
So you do not
Don't
know.
know. You're
And it's
planting seeds.
also, yeah, and it's also one of the reasons why I write books. Now, I never thought I was going to be an author. It took me a long time to realize I was a speaker and a mentor, let alone an author. And the first book I ever wrote was something that we said, well, we've got to have a book for credibility. So my then business partner and I, we don't like reinventing the wheel. So what we did was look at our blog for 12 months and took all our blogs and all our things from the blogs and put it together, and we had a book within 30 days. So that was my first book. And then it was a long time before I then wrote some more. But one of the things I have learned is that my book is a legacy because the same thing happens. Yes, I can use it for credibility, and yes, I can use, as people say, a business card. But for me, it's a legacy. Because no one throws out books. They may not read my book all the way through. They may just skim it and it may sit on their shelf. But at some stage, they might pick it up again or they will pass it on to someone else. And I have this big tingle up the back of my neck when I think, wow, maybe in 20 years' time, maybe even 30 years' time, someone might be skimming Amazon and find my ebook, or they might be going through a secondhand bookstore or someone's handed down. And there's my book. Maybe a long time after I'm not around or not doing what I'm still doing. That's going to be a long time. They would then pick it up and they might read some words that I have penned 10 years, 15 years ago. And those words might just be what they need at that time. So for me, a book is a legacy. And everybody, I believe, absolutely everybody has stories within them. Absolutely everybody has a book within them. It doesn't matter what sort. Putting it down on paper, it will get to someone else because not everybody, I'm sorry, Sarah, not everybody listens to podcasts. Not
I know.
everybody watches videos. Not everybody goes to speaking things, but they may read.
Well, we've led into something else here now that I've been doing this 12 years, 11 years, and I realized from doing the podcast that a book was needed, to extend the story. And one of the things I'm very passionate about is children. And I really feel that we're letting our children down and the system needs to change. Families need to be supported. So it took 5 years to do it, but I finally did it. And I put a compilation together of our forgotten children. I contributed a chapter, 14 other people did, all around advocacy for children and families in support and awareness. Because I believe when you're aware, you care. And it's about awareness of what families are facing, what systems are broken. And what we need to do about it, and an invitation for people to start talking about it so we can start correcting things. But then I also had, which this is just book one, there'll be book two next year, and there's going to be now coaching your self-discovery coaching book coming out, and our Forgotten Seniors book coming out, because now this is my platform. But everybody kept saying to me, "Where's your story, Sarah? You're constantly telling everybody else's story, but where's yours?" So last year I braved it up. And I wrote my own book of my own self-discovery and views of my life, right? So I did that. But then what happened? I got invited to be in two other books. So I'm in the Mission 262 and I'm in the Dare to Live Fearlessly. All of this happening in the space of 4 months, right? I made a decision that books is where I wanted to go, and all of a sudden, floodgates opened up. And it's just quite extraordinary when it does, because that means it's right. That means this path is right. This is the way it needs to go. And I'm with you. Not everybody is a podcaster, but maybe through reading the book, they may, because mine all has podcasts attached to it. Maybe from reading the book, they now want to go back in depth and listen to the podcast. But you have no idea what impact it's going to have. Not just the story of the book, but how I want to say this is the book becomes somebody else's story, if you knew what I mean.
They own it and it becomes part of their story because they tell
Yes,
your
yes,
story.
yes.
And that's absolutely true. Because as I said, my first book, my part then business partner was not long after we opened our business in 2006. And it was a book of blogs. We just took all our blogs and repurposed and leveraged, which is two of my favorite words, repurpose and leverage. Then I wrote my own book. And then I didn't do anything for many, many years. To about 4 or 5 years ago, just like you said, I got asked to contribute a chapter in a book. Now, I said no because I was a speaker. I was not an author. And I'd just done these couple of books, and that wasn't me. And I got asked again to come back, and they said, no, we really want you to contribute a chapter. And it was about then I just went bang and hit myself across the face because I thought, I keep telling people to step out and say yes, please. And here I am saying no. So I thought, if my clients ever find out I said no, I'll be in big doo-doo.
Exactly,
So I thought, okay.
accountability.
Yeah. So I thought, I'll write this chapter. It's a chapter for a book in America. If it's no good, no one's going to read it. No one's going to know in Australia. So it'll be okay. Big mistake because they read it and they did know about it in Australia. And I felt, I had to contribute to marketing it. So within the last 5 years, I have actually got up to 19 books that I have authored, co-authored, or been a contributing author to. And it will be 20 with the book from 262 Project coming out very soon.
Yes,
And
11th of
yeah,
May.
7th of May, looking forward to that. But I realized at that stage, and also a little warning to everybody, when you start to write, it becomes a, yeah, it builds on itself because people will ask you to do chapters. And I do a lot of work now. Part of what I help with is people who want to write and helping them planning their books because I have published, I've self-published, I have done compilations, I've been in compilations, I've co-authored books, I've done my own books. So I know all the traps and things because I've been there and done that, people. I've done things that, my first book, we spent $10,000 on this book at that time with a publisher and learned all the wrong things that ever happened. Didn't do anything, right? So, but one of the basic things, which is why I've got hooked on books, is because I said it's a legacy. Gives me that opportunity. I'm very careful about the books I go into compilations with now. They can be very tricky. And they can be extremely expensive, but it's a good way. I say to people, if you're not ready to do your own book, going into a compilation and contributing a chapter is a very good way to become an author because it doesn't matter whether you're the person who's compiled the book, you have contributed to it, the book has been published, you have the right to call yourself an author. And when you do that and own it, it actually does give you an extra level of credibility
Yes,
with
it does. It
someone's
does.
going to ask you to speak and you've got someone who is an author and a speaker and has that business and someone who is a speaker and has a business but hasn't contributed or hasn't got a book, it's going to go rightly or wrongly, they will go with the author because it says, wow, there is that perception. You've got a book.
Yeah.
You know what you're talking about.
Right.
All
You actually
about
put it
connection.
down on paper. You
Yeah.
didn't just speak it,
Yeah.
right?
And it's about connecting with people on all the different levels because, as you said, they may start with the book. They'll go to your podcast. They'll go to your web TV. They'll want you to come and speak. They'll start to connect. It's an interconnecting circle. If you speak and they know you've got a book, they'll go to your book. if you speak and they know you've got a podcast or you've got a web TV, they'll go and watch that. They'll watch your videos. It's all about the interconnection. And one of the things that I did for my 2 years on Blog Talk Radio, at the moment, I'm currently turning every one of those interviews. I'm getting the transcripts and I'm turning them into a series of books called Conversation with Trish.
I love
And
that. I
it's
love
really
that. Yes.
repurposing and leveraging, just
Yeah.
getting the transcript from each of those and putting each of those out. That's my Conversations with Trish. And then the other one is every time I did a frequently asked question. Oh, guess what? I'm
Yes.
transcribing every one of those over the 2 years into an FAQ book. And then I did a
Right.
quote every session as well. So guess what? I'm turning those into a book of Trish's quotes, repurposing and leveraging without reinventing the wheel.
Right. Yes, I haven't got there. I did actually kind of take some of the blogs because I used to be a blogger. So I took some of the blogs I'd written and thought, why am I rewriting the story? I wrote it truthfully at the time and just incorporated it and adjusted it for the chapters. So there were a few of those in there because it had already been said. Why am I re-saying it? Right.
That's right.
And so, and it was truthful in the time. So why am I rewriting it? So it's just incorporating it. And very often we find that a lot of the things, that we have done are still very, very relevant. And it's important to actually understand that. I always say, when people say, well, those shows are old. No, good wisdom never dies, never
No.
dies. There's always something there for someone to learn that is applicable to what they need to learn in that moment. So maybe the event or maybe your program isn't the same, but your wisdom should stand the test of time.
Oh, absolutely. Look, be honest, people, there is nothing in this world, or very, very little, that is original.
Yeah, exactly.
It's only the way people
Present it.
interpret it,
Yeah.
present it, their experience that they've added, that makes it just that little bit different. And that's why I say we've all got a right to own our uniqueness, because
Yes.
our uniqueness adds a different point of view on something that we're doing. And being able to share on a podcast, being able to share on a video, being able to share with a speech, being able to share with a book, it all gives you opportunities to connect with different people.
Yes.
And one of the things that we quite often get overwhelmed with in our business is creating content. People say, you want me to be on social media? You want me to do this? You want me to do a book? You want me to do a blog? I always want to work with my business. And I say,
It is
okay,
part of your business.
part of your business, but it's
Yeah.
okay, because if you look into your business, you will find so many
Yes.
gold nuggets of things you've
Yeah.
already done that you
Yeah.
just need to pull them out and present them in a different way.
Exactly. Exactly. I went from blogger, to writer, obviously podcaster. I obviously get interviewed on other people's podcasts as well. So the tables are switched and it's more on
Yeah.
what I'm doing, etc. And that is the way of getting your word out there. But I'm always saying that who you are on one is who you should be on another. Whatever
Oh.
question is asked of you, you may answer it in a different way, but the core of that truth and who you are must always be consistent.
Absolutely. Look, that's one of the things I say. If you meet me in person, you
Yeah.
see me on a video, you hear me on a podcast, you see me live, you see me on online, I'm the same person.
Exactly.
I'm unequivocally quirky, and I have no problems in saying I'm awesome. It took me a long time to get to say that.
Exactly.
It took
Exactly.
me a long time.
Well, Deb Drubbend is the conductor of the Mission 262 book, which is coming out. And I've known her for quite some years and I've interviewed her quite a number of times and was a second interview with her son, but we hadn't met. And then last year, finally, she was doing a launch with her son stuff. And I went to her house. That was the first time we met. And the next day we were meeting for lunch to meet my daughter, who's a mixologist and has been part of what she's been doing. And when we turned up, we were both wearing yellow eyeshadow, yellow top, yellow skirt, the same kind of yellow, right? And we are very, very opposites in many ways, the way we kind of look at business. But the common denominator is the passion about highlighting people and what they're doing. We're both driven by that mission, right? And of course, I've had the honor of interviewing many, many of the people that have been on there that, I'm inspired by. I want to do the podcast. So on June 6th, there is actually the book launch live, which, obviously I'm in Vancouver Island, so Vancouver is just across the road from me. And I get to actually meet people in person. The beautiful thing is everybody I've met in person that I've interviewed in the past, it's just all the difference is there's no screen. We're just talking face to face. There's no screen. We've already established our vibe, our connection. And it doesn't matter how long it's been, we just pick up from there and off we go. We're just more face to face now. And I think that's what people want from you. They want to know whether they've read or heard you or seen you, that if they bump into you into the grocery store, then you may be wearing a different hat, but you're the same person.
Absolutely. And how many people? It should be everybody, but it's not. How
Yeah.
many times have you seen an actor on TV,
Yes.
or you've seen a famous person, or you've seen someone who's written a book, or someone that you like, and you think, oh, wow, I want to meet them? And you sit down and you think, they're not, that's not, there's something wrong.
They're playing a
Because,
role. They're not being themselves. Yes.
yeah.
Yeah.
And then you see others who, hey, they're just like you and me,
Yeah.
and they have the real, they you can see that reality all the way through, and you can connect with them even for a few minutes. So it's like I said, the authenticity, the
Yes.
being genuine, that is what people are going to connect with. And that's why you
Exactly.
have to be able to have the courage to be vulnerable, the courage to open yourself up and let people see. It's
And
not
when
easy.
people know your why, right? When
Yes.
they know your why, when they feel your why, this is why you're doing it. They can feel it. Get asked, who do you interview? All those that come from the heart. I don't care what the subject is. I've got 19 different genres there. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. Are they coming from the heart? Is this something they're passionate about? Is it something that's going to serve someone else? Is it going to empower somebody else's life? And when you can feel it from them, you know the audience is going to feel it as well. And really, let's face it, we don't want to listen. We want to feel to listen.
It's I think it was Maria Angelou, I think it was, who said it's not what you say, it's how you
Yes,
make it feel. I think that's
exactly.
I have one of those quirks of mine is I always mix up quotes, but I
Yeah,
can't do jokes. I can't because I either forget the ending or I forget the beginning or the middle, but I mix them all up. So anyway, I know
yeah.
what I'm
I do the
supposed to
same. I'm
come up.
dyslexic, so I get things the wrong way around sometimes. I speak like Yoda. And I
Love
think
it.
that's another thing, I call it flawsomeness. We've all got these wonderful, quirky flaws, and that's what makes us unique. Let's be awesome with them. The Japanese, if you take a broken bowl, they fix it with gold. I say, put yourself back together with all the experiences and diversity you've had. Put yourself back together with love. Now fill that bowl with love and let that love runneth over and let people feel it. And it's okay that it came from a bowl that had to be put back together.
I say there's no perfect people in the world.
No.
There's absolutely no one that's perfect. And one of the biggest traps we fall into is that we say, I'm not going to publish that book. I'm not going to get up and
Yes.
speak. I'm not going to open my business. I'm not going to put my new product up because it's not quite perfect.
Yeah.
I had a client once, 7 years she's been writing this book, 7 years. She's rewritten it probably 30 times because it's not quite perfect. And I just said to her, you know what? Imperfect action. That's something one of my mentors said to me.
Yeah.
Imperfect action, because you're never going to get it be perfect, and it becomes a really great procrastinator.
Yeah.
Imperfect action, put it out there and let people see. So I'm quite happy. I'm imperfect. And
Well,
I'm
I
quite
say there's
happy
no
being
such thing
perfect.
as perfect people, but there's perfect moments in time. Right?
There is that, yeah, there is that
Yes.
aha moment. Is
Yeah.
that a moment where I get tingles up the back of my spine, and it's like the universe just stops. And you think,
Yes.
moment, this is the moment I'm capturing.
Yes.
The moment I met my husband, it's the moment I held my daughter. And then there's the moments that are, I've got the sad ripples, the moments can be life-changing. And that's the moment when we lost our son Craig to
No.
suicide. That is a moment when the universe stopped.
Yes.
And it could have stayed stopped.
Yeah.
And you learn a lot of things in moments like that. But each of those are perfect moments. Perfect moments.
Yes.
Moments that are memorable. And I love those.
Yes.
And the
It's
moments
the
that.
ones that make you smile, make the heart smile, make everything smile. And you know, there aren't articulation for it. It just is. You just are. Right?
And
And
they're the
it.
moments that have become your life, your milestones in your.
Yes.
They're the ones you look back, the lessons you learn, or the things that you celebrate. And yeah, people, I'm going to say something obvious is that we're all very good at looking at the things that don't go right. We're not
Exactly.
so good at looking at the things that just worked.
Yeah.
But when you put those together, you celebrate the things that work and you take lessons from the things that didn't quite work. That
Exactly.
means you are moving forward in your journey. If
Yeah.
you don't do that, you are stagnating.
You know, it's
You
also, you know, what you feed is what's going to grow. And if your emphasis is on all the things that aren't working, that will continue to grow. If you look again, okay, that didn't work, but let's try something else. This is working. Let's put emphasis on that. Let's see how it will grow. But we've got to have belief behind what we're doing. We've got to have enthusiasm behind what we're doing, because if we don't, then we're sending out our doubt.
We're just being there instead
Yeah.
of being there and sending out our message and letting it be there for the people that need to hear us. It's there's a big difference than just, okay, I'll turn up tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll turn up tomorrow. Other than, okay, I'm going to see what tomorrow will bring and
Yes.
I'm going to be
Yes.
there. And hey, it may be fantastic. It may not be quite perfect. It may be disastrous. But wow, I was there and I experienced every single one of those moments.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, touching on my son's suicide is that's what taught me that life is ephemeral. We never know what's going to happen the next day. So I made an agreement with myself, an agreement with my husband. I enjoy every single day, no matter what happens, whether it's raining, it's storming, it's flooding, brilliant sunshine, whether I meet the most fantastic person or I have the worst freaking client. It doesn't matter because each of those moments I am living.
I agree.
Each of those
Yeah.
moments I am experiencing, each of those moments I am me. And
Gift of
that,
life, a gift of life, right? I wake up in the morning, even if I've had a bad night, and it, thank you, I'm awake. I have a day before me. Right? What happens in that day, what I do with that day will be what that day is. How I greet that day, even when things go wrong. And when things
Oh.
get frustrating, you take the deep breath, let it go. Okay, that's okay. This tomorrow. I'm going to greet tomorrow with the
Well,
enthusiasm of a beautiful day ahead of me.
absolutely. But one of the biggest lessons I think we can learn in our life, and one that I think our young people and have been not taught, is that we have absolute control over us. We have
Exactly.
control over our attitude. We have control over how we respond. And that means that when we acknowledge that, then we acknowledge that we take responsibility. Everything that we do. And I believe, unfortunately, from my perspective, my viewpoint, that our young people have lost that responsibility. They no longer
Absolutely.
take responsibility and they're
Absolutely.
not even encouraged to take responsibility.
Exactly.
And that means then that they have forgotten that they have control over how they respond, they have control over how they act. And that is what is going to be driving them. And if you haven't been taught that, you haven't been taught how to lose gracefully.
Yeah.
If you haven't been taught that this world, not everybody wins, and
Yeah.
that's pretty okay because we can all be in the race, we can all be there going. But if we come out expecting that we are all going to be winners,
Yeah.
very big and tough lesson to learn in that
A
real
very.
world. And I think that's what causes a lot of the issues that we have today.
Oh, well, you know,
That's
this is, you know, my
my
chapter.
thought.
No, I agree with you 100%. And my chapter in this, which is the last one, was really like, what has happened to our youth that they're so disconnected that they have to go out and stab a perfect stranger to feel anything. And really, what they're disconnected from is feeling. They're so oversaturated from everything else. They're so confused with all the hate and the discord out there. They feel so hopeless and helpless of what lies to tomorrow. We haven't taught them the skills to ride the roller coaster of life, to understand the ups and downs, how to appreciate the ups, to learn from the downs. And they've become very kind of linear in a way that they're not attached to anything. And then when they're not attached, they go to the extreme to find some form of connection.
And we still need to realize, though, and I'm always, I'm like, I like to be both sides. There are some fantastic, fabulous young people
Oh,
out there
absolutely.
who have been guided, and I reckon, their families have guided in defiance of what society is trying to teach them.
Exactly.
And those ones, if you look at them, those are the ones that are achieving fantastic things because
Exactly.
they know what life is like. They know that enough, if you're going to want to be somewhere, you need to work at it. And
Exactly.
they know that you not everybody is a winner. So they're fine. They're going to be working hard to be up there. And you've got some great young entrepreneurs. You've got great creative people. And it's a shame that we don't have all of that.
And the thing is, we've also got an incredible platform to platform their geniusness, right? We have a platform for that. And again, it's what we feed. And if we support that platform where we invite them to step forward in all the beautiful gifts that they are, and no matter, I mean, I have a grandson with Down syndrome, and I look at him as a beautiful gift because
Oh,
when
awesome.
he's unhappy, he cries. When he's finished crying, he's happy. Right, and there's so much to learn from it. I've interviewed so many people with autism, adults and children, and parents of autism. And again, it comes back to a lot of the autistic people are incredibly creative, very selective of the people around them. Right, they share their energy out only with a few, and they are very focused and passionate about life. They just don't choose to expand into the static. They keep themselves more insular, but are just incredible people. There's a lot to learn from them. Social media has told us we've got to have more likes, more this, more that. We want business. We've got to be everywhere. Instead of, no, we need to be where our vibe tribe is so we can serve the people that are on our same resonance, that are on our same energy vibe, because that is the exchange. And you can't exchange with people if their energy is over there or the static is over here. So we've got to be more focused and selective.
Absolutely. Quantity does not equal
No.
quality.
No.
And, I want to be there. I want to make it easy for those people who need to find me. And that's why I do video. That's why I do books. That's why I blog. That's why I do online summits. Why I put myself out as a guest and I have my own show. Because I know that people, some people read, some people watch, some
Yes.
people forget. But what it means is that if I don't do that, then the people that need to resonate with me can't find me.
Exactly.
And I don't
Exactly.
need thousands and ten thousand. I've
No.
often been told, you can't come and speak on our online summit because you don't have a database of 10,000 or
Exactly.
15,000. And I say, excuse me, how many of those 10,000 and 15,000
Exactly.
people actually connect with you?
Exactly.
My database may not be that high, but I know that the people there's a large percentage, know who I am, and they're there because they want to be there with me.
Exactly.
So I always say quantity does not
No.
necessarily mean quality.
Yeah. And I think, especially going back to introvertedness, as introverts, we are more selective of the energies around us. We do prefer a more intimate group. We're not really into the big rah-rah and the big massive. It's not just a question of feeling uncomfortable, it's just not our vibe, right? So we can become extroverted without our introverted group. But we to be a part of that big extrovertedness that feels like, but where's the connection? Is not where we're at. So just if you are an introvert, again, it goes back to we like the depth, we like the connection, we like the wholeness of it. Embrace all of that. You will have your extroverted moments of expression, but it's coming from the depth of your introvertedness.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Couldn't
So
agree
how
more.
do people reach you? What is the step that they take in becoming the speaker and everything else that you do for them?
Okay, fine. Look, my website is very simple. It's trishspringsteen.com. That's my name, trishspringsteen.com. You can connect with me there. But look for me on Facebook, look for me on LinkedIn. Just put in Trish Springsteen and look for the lady who is purple. I have purple hair. I wear purple. I unequivocally love purple. But it's okay. You do not have to love purple to work with me because I do understand there are other colors in the spectrum, just not the best color. But I understand that and I accept that you might not like purple. So you can connect with me there, LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram. You put Trish Springsteen in, I come up and I'll be there. And I'd love to connect with you and have a conversation. I have a Calendly.com, so you can book in a conversation with me. That's a little bit more tricky. It's calendly.com/trishel, which is TRISCHEL slash conversation. That book's a free conversation with me. But hey, DM me on LinkedIn, DM me on Facebook, and I'll be happy to have a conversation with you. I have a really new package just coming out this year, which is a speaker package. So love to share that with you. But hey, you can just have a conversation.
And across the board, I mean, your books that you've done is,
Oh, yeah.
suicide, breast cancer, the A to Z interview tips. It's a broad spectrum. And of course, all of those can be found on Amazon. All you have to do is put in Trish Springsteen, and that's Springsteen. So, and that's trishspringsteen.com and also Trish Springsteen up on Amazon as well. And, you just, maybe the conversation is like, yes, I am shy. I am introverted. I do want to do this. I don't know where I'm going with this. You don't know where you're going to go until you reach out and say, can we have a chat?
That's absolutely true. We never know what we don't know until we
Exactly.
talk to people. And that's why, even as an introvert, you need to push yourself out to have a conversation with people because they could be your best client and you could be their best client. Or you could just be the best conversation and having best friends, which ultimately down the track will support you. Because one of the things I did learn is that a very important component of your personal growth journey, your business journey, your work journey is being surrounded by a group of like-minded people that support
Exactly. Very much. They call it the vibe tribe, right?
Absolutely.
And that's, people who genuinely want to see everybody succeed and be a part of it, even if you're just the cheerleader. Or you talk about somebody, I don't need your services, but you've got to go to Trish, right? And let them have that experience of you. Their experience will be different to yours. But I say the greatest compliment you can do is refer somebody, because that means that person had an impact on you. That's where, I mean, these alignables and this and that. Do you refer this person? Do that? I don't refer anybody that I haven't had a connection with.
Absolutely.
Right, because
I have.
how can I honorably, refer somebody or recommend somebody that I don't know anything about?
Some of my best clients have come from a group of people who have been a client of mine, and they come back and do all sorts of things with me. But they go out there and they say, "Oh, you need to talk to Trish. You have to go and talk." And to me, that's the best way of doing business. That's the best way of making connection is people who will talk about what you do. And so go and
Exactly.
have a chat with them. And that's the gold in business.
It is. Connection, connection, be yourself, have a passion, speak from the heart, and get up and do it anyway.
Absolutely. Always.
Always. And please do not second guess. Don't be apologetic. I don't sound like so and so. I'm not Oprah. No, they're all taken. Just be you. All we want is you. We don't want a knockoff of somebody else.
So you can't be that person, but you can be a better you.
Oh, absolutely. And concentrate on that, right? Concentrate on that. Thank you so much, Trish. And to everyone out there, you have something to share. You have something to say. You have something to give that's going to enlighten and brighten somebody's life. Don't let being shy or being an introvert or being scared hold you back, because you have no idea the impact that you could be having on someone's life when you step into your own bravado and start sharing. So until next time, folks, bye for now. We hope that you enjoyed the show. There are so many more for you here on selfdiscoverywisdom.com. Just go to the podcast tag at the top there, and you will see all the many genres and all 3,000 shows ready for your listening. We are here to serve you, to help you on your journey of life, and we know that through inspiration, it begets invitation. We are supported by you, the listeners, and those that we interview. Anything that you can spare us in donation would be greatly accepted, and we do hope that you enjoy the next show.